Great to be with you this morning. Steve, are we good? Check, check. Okay. I feel like I've been here before. This is Earth, right? Been here before. My name is John Mark. For those of you that don't know me, I was an associate pastor here about 5 years ago, and my family and I attended here for many years, starting, I believe it was back in 2000. We came when before Sophia was born, and we had a baby dedication, or a, not only a dedication, a shower for her here. So that's going back a long way. If you look at them today, you'll see that it's been a while that since we've been here. But I am now pastoring. I'm the co-lead pastor at Kingsview Methodist Church, which is in Etobicoke, Islington, and Dixon area, if you know the city at all. And so we're really enjoying getting to know people there. It's been long enough. We know pretty much everybody. But there's always a few that show up that you haven't met. And really enjoy the multicultural aspect of that church and connecting with people from all over the world who are new Canadians. And so I bring greetings from Pastor Darren Lindsay. Some of you have encountered Pastor Darren that I work with over the years. He worked in youth ministry along with Rick Hancock for many years with FMC stuff. So some of you may have been at a youth retreat with him, and maybe you would know him to see him. But we have a great time together. We share an office and laugh and talk and pray together all the time, and it's great. So we're really enjoying our time there. We have so many fond memories of this church, and it has meant so much to our family. And I'm going to even mention that a little bit in the sermon today. But we are just thankful for this place, and coming back here feels very much like home. We spend a lot of time here. I want to revisit a theme that has been on my heart and that God has been using in my life and in the life of our church. And I feel like it's not limited to Kingsview. It's a universal topic. I want to speak about spiritual awakenings this morning. Spiritual awakenings. And Pastor Jen, when she first spoke to me about coming today, she said, well, we're doing something on mission, and some of you will know that Lori and I have a history of doing some cross-cultural work, and it's a topic that I love. And I thought, well, maybe I'll be speaking about mission. And then I got another email, and she said, no, we changed our plan. I'm going to start the mission thing, so you just do whatever you want. So I hope this is going to be a foundation that you can build on as you talk about mission together. I want to read just three short passages from a few different spots in Scripture. I don't have PowerPoint this morning. I just decided I'm gonna go without the visual, so I hope the audio will be enough. But I want to read from Isaiah and from Luke and from Ephesians, and then what I hope to do is tie these pieces together with the help of the Holy Spirit, these three scriptures. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2 says this, "Arise, get up, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you." And then in Luke 15, verse 17, Jesus was telling a story, and he said this, "When he, that is the prodigal son, finally came to his senses, he said to himself, 'At home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger.'" And then from Ephesians 5, verse 14, "The light makes everything visible. That's why it is said," or literally, that's why he says, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." According to the Bible, there are only two kinds of people in the world: those who are not yet awake and those who are trying to stay awake. There's only really two types of people in the spiritual economy that God has: those who are not yet awake and those who are trying to stay awake. And so you are either one or the other. By the definition of the story of God contained in the Bible, there's really only one of two places to land. You're not yet awake spiritually, or you're trying to stay awake spiritually. And if you're not yet awake, that means you're spiritually asleep. You're spiritually asleep. And so to be truly alive, according to the Scriptures, is to be awake in your spirit, to be awake to what God is doing in the world. And so this morning, I want us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and to the individuals of the church. He's saying something to all of us. And he's saying something to you and I specifically about waking up and rising from the dead and living in the light of Jesus, as that verse in Ephesians says. So I'm going to address a couple of questions this morning. Are we awake at all is the first question. And if we have been awakened by God, what are we doing to stay awake? And so I want to talk a bit about first awakenings. And maybe just to begin, just check yourself that you're physically awake right now. Start with that level. We can't progress unless you're physically awake first. I believe I've told this story before. I've probably told it here. But when we were working in Africa, it was on a Sunday morning like this. We were in a building that was a concrete structure. It was a school. But there were no windows and no air conditioning. And so it would be about 40 degrees by the time 9 o'clock rolled around and heavy humidity. And so by the midway through the service, I would really start to flag a little. Like the heat alone would make you drowsy. If you weren't able to move, then you would begin to nod off. And we worked with a gentleman named Pastor Charles Tete, and he had an uncle. And Uncle Abby was a bit narcoleptic. He would fall asleep like that. And so Abby would be sitting right at the front of the church, and Charles would take out his really big Bible while he was preaching, and he'd just walk down the aisle and go, "Abby, don't sleep!" and smack him. Just to make sure he was with him for all 4 or 5 points. So I won't hit you with anything today, but it's easy. It's easy, in fact, to fall asleep in the physical. It's actually easy to fall asleep spiritually as well. Let's talk about sleepers for a minute. If you are a sleeper, what are some characteristics of the sleeper, of someone who is asleep? Physical sleep is a good thing, and we need to get the right amount of it. We don't need too little or too much. We need to get a regular amount of sleep, and for all of us, it's a little different. But if we were to sleep all the time, we would say that's not a good thing. If we were to constantly be asleep, we would say we were in a coma, right? We're not interacting with the world. So tell me some things. Just holler them out. What are some characteristics of sleepers? What can we say about them? I didn't hear it. They snore. I had that on my list. Was that Farouk? Snorers. Yeah, when I was a bit younger, actually when I was still here, working here, Lori sent me to the sleep clinic for my snoring. Because in my insensible state asleep, I was causing all kinds of trouble for her in the night. I was snoring really loudly. And so the sleeper might be doing things like snoring or kicking or sleepwalking or whatever that affect other people, but they're not aware of it. So they're actually quite insensitive to others when they're fully asleep. Other things, sleepers, what can you say about them? They dream. So they are in the world of their own. They are in a self-contained world in their own mind. And we all know, if we've ever had vivid dreams, that dreams can seem perfectly real. We can be convinced in a dream that we are living life and we are in scenarios and we are interacting with people. And then when we awake, we realize, oh man, that seems so real to me, but it wasn't real life. It wasn't interacting with the world at all. So we can be like the sleeper, trapped in our own head. Other things from physical sleep. A couple more. Again. We are more rested. Okay. Sure. You do sleep too much, David? Okay. What else can we say about the person while they're asleep? These are good. Unaware, okay. They don't really interact with the world. One more. Could be depressed. Yeah, depressed people want to sleep more and more. They want to retreat, don't they, from life. Well, these are all good examples of the life of the sleeper, and it's the same in the physical as it is in the spiritual. If we are spiritually asleep, we may be alive physically, but not interacting with the world in a meaningful or a purposeful way. In fact, even in 1 Timothy, Paul describes someone who was spiritually asleep by saying that she was dead even while she lives, like a zombie. When Mallory was little, she used to sleepwalk occasionally, and she would come downstairs, and then, you know, you'd be talking to her, and nothing was making sense. You know, the eyes are open, but it's not registering. Some of us in our spiritual state are sleepwalking. We're walking through life. We're not really alive to real reality. We are just doing things looking like we're living, but we're not living in a real way. or living foolishly. You know, when you try and reason with that sleepwalker, if you try and talk to them about something, they won't hear it. So people will make all kinds of choices because in their mind, in the dream that they're a part of, all these things make sense. But they haven't been awakened to what God wants for them. They would be self-absorbed. They don't consider others, just like the snorer or the kicker. Sometimes they're going to bowl over people and knock into things and create issues and conflict, but in their mind, they're doing what they are designed to do. But they're not spiritually awake to the consequences. And ultimately, as we heard, they're disconnected from reality. God has said, I know what is best for you. I want to call you into my kingdom. I want you to be alive to me. And the sleeper, the spiritual sleeper, is insensible to the purposes of God. What we think of as so important and so real, the Bible describes as passing away. If you've read the author C.S. Lewis, some of you know that I enjoy his work. C.S. Lewis called this life the Shadowlands. The things in this world that seem very real to us are but shadows of the ultimate reality, which is life with God. And so God is creating ultimate reality in us and in His church and through His Spirit, and we need to be awake to that reality, not creating our own world, but really living the life that God calls us to. So the question is, are you awake? Are you awake spiritually? Can you say, I've been awakened spiritually by God? You know, it's very tempting to stay in bed spiritually. It's stay in bed physically too, isn't it? On a long weekend morning, we can doze, and I love that feeling in the morning. I rarely get to sleep in. And you have that feeling where you wake up and you just, I want to go back, right? You just give me a few, I'm in that perfectly comfy, heavy blanket sort of thing, right? It's easy to go back to sleep. I know it's probably been overdone, but it is getting to be an older reference. I'm showing my age. But some of you have probably seen the film The Matrix. It was a big deal when Lori and I were young adults around the time we got married. And the idea in The Matrix is that people are living in a virtual reality world created by robots who have taken over the earth. And so what everyone thinks is real, the life that they're having, is actually just a simulation that they are trapped in, and the robots are actually harvesting people for the energy from their bodies, and the world is a much more dangerous and nightmarish place than they had imagined. And so they are woken up by coming out of the matrix and alive to the reality's danger that is existing in the real world. Of course, it's science fiction. It's not the real world, but you get what I'm saying. They become awake to what's happening. And in all that film, the person that haunts me the most, the character that haunts me the most, is the guy who betrays the team of good guys. His name's Cypher in the movie. And he's someone who's been awakened, and he looks at how horrible things have got in the real world, and he says, he makes a deal, I want them to send me back. Because the dream is so much more enticing than the hard realities, the work that needs to be done in the real world. Send me back to the dream. Send me back to virtual reality. Send me back to the matrix. I'm just going to close my eyes to whatever's happening out here. I just want to go back to that dream that I was dreaming. And the world has all kinds of beautiful dreams that it tries to sell us on. And they're all the same dreams that have been around forever. That some of these things in this life, in this physical life, will give us ultimate purpose and ultimate meaning. So they're, if you look in cultures, they're always there. Ancient cultures, modern cultures. Things like status or success or power or sex, pleasure or money or some kind of spiritual self-worship or activation that we can somehow love ourselves enough or do something with ourselves that we become godlike. These are all temptations and dreams been out there, alternate realities that we can participate in that cause us to fall asleep spiritually. Just like the guy in the Matrix, I want to go back to the dream. And in a way, addiction is the full-blown form of that. When we see people that are trapped in those behaviors and they really just want to keep escaping the reality that's here because there's too much pain in it or because they don't know how to deal with it. And we all do that in various ways. Dreams designed to keep us asleep spiritually. Well, the good news is that God does not want us to stay that way. God is actually in the business of awakening people. And so that's where this verse in Luke 15 comes in. Think about the story that Jesus told about the prodigal son. The son who ran away. The son who thought he could figure out life on his own. And the son goes out and tries all those dreams that the world was offering. Wine, women, and song. The KJV says riotous living. I don't know how many of you have thought about living riotously lately. That's a great phrase. Not a great behavior, but it's a great phrase. Riotous living. He's having a great time. Until it's not fun anymore. Until he finds himself with the pigs. And after all the partying and so on, there's a phrase in verse 17 that is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. It's only in Luke. It's a bit of a strange phrase. It's literally, he came to himself. Most often in your Bible, it'll say something like, he came to his senses. But it literally means he came to himself. Maybe he saw himself as he actually was. He had a spiritual awakening. He woke up. He said, all this stuff I'm trying to do to make meaning in my life and to make myself whole and full is not doing the job. In fact, even the people who were servants and not sons in my father's house had a better life than I'm having right now. He woke up. God's purpose in the world is to do that waking up, to get us to those places where we say, who am I? What am I doing with myself? How did I get here? Jesus told this story because the spiritual leaders of the day, the religious leaders of the day, were excluding all the people who were in that place. They were saying, those people who get to the end of themselves, they're the bad people. And Jesus told the story and said, those are the people that I came to talk to because they realize they need something else. They need a spiritual awakening. If you've been living like God isn't there, if you've been sleepwalking through your life, if you're like that spiritual zombie, then my prayer is that this story of awakening would come alive in you today, that you would come to yourself and say, I need something more. I need God. I need to know God's plan for me. Forgiveness and a new start and blessing. All of those are tied up. And so I'd encourage you to read that story in Luke 15. If you're in that place spiritually, that story has so much hope because the Son is welcomed back by the Father. He's given a new life. He's given blessing. Today is your wake-up call. If you're in that first group, and you could say, I don't think I'm spiritually awake. God wants to do that work in you. That is his purpose in the world. Others of us might say I have an experience where God woke me up. I was like that person. Or maybe it wasn't that extreme. Maybe it was other situations. But God shook me and rattled me awake. And I'm awake spiritually today by God's grace. Some of us had different kinds of awakenings, right? You might have had the parallel of a college roommate who blows the air horn in your room. Have you ever had that happen to you? Or maybe you've been at camp and somebody did something crazy to you to wake you up. Some of you had a sudden spiritual awakening. You were going this way and then God stopped you and you turned around and you started going the other way. Almost like a rude awakening. Some of us awaken gradually spiritually. We've been around this stuff. We've been around church. We've been around the Bible. We've been around people talking about Jesus. And over time, we got saturated in it and we could say, I really do believe this stuff. This is really what God's talking to me about. And sometimes it's an easy thing in the sense of we just wake up like a person waking up out of the anesthetic and seeing that loved one's face there. It was actually quite gentle. God just told me to keep going, told me to walk in his way. So I did it. And others of us, it was quite difficult. We wrestle with God. We go back and forth. We keep getting called by God in different ways and we keep pushing back. And so our story might be a little more rocky than others. But however it happened, you're awake. I was a little kid, about 5 years old. I was staying with my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, who very seldom took care of me as much as my dad's mom did. So it sticks out to me. And she had taken me to church at the Baptist church. I went to Emmanuel Baptist when I was a kid here in Barrie. And she had taken me to church, and the pastor was preaching about following Jesus as a disciple. I don't know why at 5 years old that made sense to me, but it made sense to me. I understood what he was saying. He was saying things like, is there any reason why you wouldn't follow Jesus today? I could not think of a reason. And I went up. Because I was five, I had taken off my uncomfortable Sunday shoes. I probably had had a tie, too, that I'd thrown off somewhere along the way. Up on my socks. And I remember Pastor Wiest, an older former missionary guy. I learned later from my dad that he kind of had like his stock sermons and he just kept, he was at that stage where he wasn't doing anything new. But he spoke the words of Jesus. And so he took me as a little guy back to his office and I'm sure he was a little skeptical. Like, so he was asking me a lot of questions. John Mark, do you understand what I was talking about? Yes, I think so. And so he went through a few things with me and he prayed with me. And so that was the beginning of my awakening at that young age. But that wasn't the only awakening I needed. But that was the beginning of God working on me. And in my journey, there were other times at camp as a young person when I was awakened to the possibility of serving others. When I had been a teenager and really thinking about myself, spending a summer away at summer camp leadership program, really digging into this idea that maybe God wants me to help other people in a variety of ways, help them to become spiritually awakened, help them to grow as young people. So that grabbed me. And then I can think of times here in this church before I ever became a pastor where I was just a young man with a young family and people encouraging me and challenging me to become involved in what was happening in the church, to become involved in the work that God was doing in people's lives. Whether it was in a small group where we encouraged one another, or whether it was getting involved with worship ministry or whatever, people helped the Holy Spirit. They participated with the Holy Spirit in challenging me and awakening me. I'm forever grateful for that. You see, God is doing all kinds of things in us and around us, and if we tune into it, we can stay awake. What do you do to stay awake? I don't know if you're driving often late at night, but there's the old trick of rolling the window down. You know, get that cold air on your face. In the middle of winter in Barrie, it's a little more harsh than other times, but it'll keep you awake pretty quick. Turn up the music, right? All those things that we do to stay awake physically when we need to stay awake. And Jesus told all kinds of parables, all kinds of stories to his followers before he left them. When he was talking about when he would return, he said, you know what? There was this guy who went away. Jesus is great at this, eh? Let me tell you a story. See if you can connect the dots, guys. There's a guy who went away and the servants were supposed to wait for him. And they all fell asleep. And he told several of these stories, bridegrooms and virgins in their lamps and all these different ways of telling us that the default position of the church is that there's going to be a lot of stuff that wants to put us to sleep. It's always going to be full. Life is always going to be full of things that want to put us to sleep as the church. It might be comfort. It might be entertainment. It might just be complacency. There's going to be all kinds of temptations from the world to say, don't press into what the Holy Spirit is saying. Don't get connected to that. Just be quiet for a little bit. You just need a rest. Now, I'm not advocating workaholism. I mean, getting in touch with what the Spirit is doing, not with our busyness of what we think we should be doing. But the church is always going to be that. It wasn't that Jesus didn't trust his disciples. He was just, the fact is, everything is going to tempt you to fall asleep spiritually in the world. It's going to be you making a decision to participate with what my Spirit is already doing. That is where you're going to come alive. That is where you're going to be awake spiritually. If you just are passive, it's not enough. You have to be engaged with my Spirit. I'll talk about C.S. Lewis again. I don't know, I got a lot of references in here. If you've ever read the Narnia Chronicles, in one of the stories, it's a fantasy series by C.S. Lewis. One of the stories, there's a prince who is kidnapped as a young boy by an evil enchantress, and she raises him and makes him believe that he has always lived underground. So he is given a treatment, a silver chair, an enchanted throne he is put on every night, and she tells him he has to sit in this, be strapped into this chair because he goes crazy every night. But what the children who are on the adventure learn is that actually he comes to himself every night in the chair. He realizes who he is. And when the children who are on the adventure find this out and they're in the room with him and they're discovered by the evil queen, what she does is she pulls out a lute or a guitar and she just starts strumming. And the story, she puts some incense in the fire, some nice smelly stuff in the fire, and the room gets warm, and she just keeps strumming, and she says, "No, I don't think there is any land above. There's no overland. There's no real sky. There's no sun." She just keeps gently playing the instrument, lulling them to sleep. Church, we can be in that situation too often, where we're listening to the song that the world is singing, and it's just gently saying, "There's nothing more. There's nothing more out there. There's no real transformation happening in people's lives. There is no spiritual reality." And we can be like those children. Very importantly, I believe they kick each other or they pinch each other or something happens to keep them awake. Say, we've got to stay awake through this. If we don't stay awake through this, we're lost. What a great picture, church, of us to say it is critical that we stay awake spiritually. It's critical that we're awake to what God is doing, listening in prayer for what God is doing, taking time to talk to others about our faith and where we're wrestling and saying, I want to be awake to God. This is where I'm having trouble. How do we stay awake? If you find yourself as a Christian more critical and less joyful, you might be falling asleep. Find yourself without vision, not knowing what God is calling you to do next, and you feel like you don't know where you're going, you might be falling asleep. If you find yourself listening to other voices outside of God's word more prevalently and saying, I think this is making more sense to me, you might be falling asleep. If you're feeling as if God is far away, you might be falling asleep. Paul said to his audience in Acts, when he was in Athens, that God is right next to us, if only we would grope for him in darkness. We just reach out. If we're feeling like we're in that dark place, God is right there, wants to awaken us. Is it possible you've slipped into spiritual sleep? Verse 14 of Ephesians 5 is this interesting quote in the book of Ephesians. We don't really know for sure who the author is quoting. It seems like it could be that verse from Isaiah that I read at the beginning. It talks about God's people waking up. But it's a little bit of a twist. And he says, this is why he says, who does he mean? Isaiah, the Holy Spirit? Not 100% sure. But the command and the promise are clear. Awake. Wake up, church. Rise from the dead and Jesus will shine his light on you. A command and the promise. It's a biblical pattern. God's calling us into covenant relationship with him, and then he will fulfill his side of the bargain. Don't go back, Paul is saying, to those old things you used to do. If you look at the context of Ephesians 5, there's all kinds of things you used to do. You used to worship idols, all those things we mentioned earlier, sex, money, power. They all had personification in the Greek pantheon of God. So you could go to the temple of sex. You could go to the temple of money. You could in the old way, the old dreams. And Paul's saying, don't fall asleep again, folks. Jesus wants to wake you up. If these things are hard, we don't want to slip back into spiritual sleep. Let's wrestle through with the things that are barriers to us to staying awake. If something keeps pulling us back into spiritual sleep, that's something that needs to be talked about. That's something that needs to be prayed for. That's something that doesn't need to be ignored, because to ignore it is to slip back into sleep. It's to hear the thrumming of the lute and drowse in the heat of the room. You're either not yet awake, according to the Bible, or you're trying to stay awake. That's our task, to be awake to what God is doing. And God is doing that through his Spirit. He's nudging us. He's doing things in our lives to draw us to him. Or maybe if we've had some of those awakening experiences, we say, I really do believe I'm following Jesus. How are you staying awake? How are you engaging with what the Holy Spirit is doing? Not just as individuals, but as a church. You're going to talk about mission this summer. Number one thing you can do together is to be in prayer and to be alert. What's happening in this neighborhood outside these walls that you need to be alert to? What are the needs that are there? What are the things that God is already at work in? Isn't that the beautiful thing? We don't have to conjure it up, church. The Spirit is already moving. Jesus is just saying, are you awake enough to see what my Spirit is doing? It's there. And you can get into that slipstream of the Spirit, step into the movement of the Spirit and say, we want to serve where we see the Spirit at work, right in our community. We're going to sing the song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. It's really a song about awakening. Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. Come flood this place and change the atmosphere. We're saying we want to do the things that the Spirit is doing. We want to be engaged with what God is doing. And so if this morning you are spiritually sleepy, maybe this is a moment for you to come and do business with God, to talk to Him, to confess those places where you have been slipping back into sleep, or just to wrestle with Him. Maybe you've been hitting the snooze button spiritually. I heard you, but I need another 15 minutes. Maybe it's time to stop hitting snooze on becoming awake spiritually. We have this opportunity to hear what God is saying to us in prayer as we pray and as we pray for one another. We'll invite you to come.